Please take a seat. What a great morning. Hey, let's give the worship team a big hand for all of the hard work that they've put in. Of all the volunteers in a local church, I reckon the worship team would have to be the hardest working. With all of the practice that they put in and turning up early. I think Jared looks like he's got ever-ready batteries on the inside, just moving all over the place, going for it. And wasn't that great? Eunice singing. Where's Eunice? There, yes. That's pretty gutsy to stand up there and just go for it. But you did it. It was absolutely brilliant. Well, it's just so good to be with you guys. Loved last night. What I'm so enjoying about being at C3 Fremantle is it's not like Leap into Spring Conference is like, this would be new. Let's do this. Let's do something. You've got this track record of years of making a difference locally and globally. And this is like, okay, let's lay a foundation for the next level of fruitfulness. So, hearing all the stuff last night, in fact, there was a few areas last night that were highlighted more this morning. I'm amazed. I mean, this is a solid church. But you punch above your weight, right? There's a whole lot of massive churches out there that would do a tenth of what you're doing. So it really is a privilege for me to be here and to be able to do a part of this exciting journey in church life as you make a difference. It really is. Texting a bit with Amanda this morning, my wife. She says a big hello as well, and a hello to you guys. Amanda was with me here in Perth until Thursday. We did something similar to this up at Hepburn Heights last weekend, and now she's back home. I was WhatsApping my son this morning. He was having breakfast in Okinawa in Japan, right? So he's doing a gap year, sort of like Hamish and Andy, but not really. And that is one crazy show, I tell you. I cannot believe what they did on that last episode. The hand in those gloves with the stinging ants, that is ridiculous. Anyone see that? No thanks. So Tyler is having breakfast, and he's gap yearing in Japan, and in about two more months, he's going to volunteer at C3 Tokyo for a month, and so really exciting. And while he's having breakfast, he's live streaming C3 Oxford Falls. So he's telling me what's happening in my home church. It's a small world, huh? So Amanda and I have been married for 28 years. And so Tyler is 19, Jacinta is 22, she's at uni. And we have been on Pastor Phil and Chris's team for 27 years. We're just like part of the furniture in C3. They keep on saying, at our church at Oxford Falls, because we plant lots of churches, we send out our best. So Amanda and I are still there. But we'll be one of the best one day. We'll see. I'd like to show you something just before we get into it this morning. One of the places where we have C3 churches in Africa is in the north of Uganda. And that part of the world became a little bit famous in 2012 because there was this thing that went on social media called Make Kony Famous. And it was about the leader of the Lord's Resistance Army, a leader of a terrible rebel army that engaged in child soldiers, little girls, child sex slaves. And so this was an attempt to bring to the world's attention what was happening up there. We have 40 churches in the area that was affected by the Lord's Resistance Army now. 40 C3 churches. And if you could imagine what life was like there once, I just want to show you the worship in our C3 Gulu gathering in May this year. And I want you to contrast just the joy and exuberance of our African worship. And watch the camera pan to my friend Julie, who is doing polite worship, right? And just have a look at the difference between these guys. So check it out.
Hey,
He did that for about 20 minutes. Unbelievable. It was just like this aerobic praise God workout, total fitness session. It was absolutely brilliant. Just want to bottle that joy, huh? And bring it back. So, there you go. I thought you did that do you good? Just makes you smile. In our youth group, if there's something good happens, they've actually memorized the moves. So if something good happens, they just bust it out now. Just do a little bit. It was really cool. So, hey, let's pray as we get into this word this morning and believe and expect that the Holy Ghost is going to touch each one of us this morning. Father, we give you this time. And Lord God, we do not want to just come around a word from any man, but that your Spirit would meet with each one of us, that not one of us would leave this building today without being profoundly touched by the Spirit of the living God, that we would encounter you today, and then in our hearts there would be something that goes on that is extraordinary, that is a change point, a marking point of a new walk with you. So God, we expect great things because we're meeting with a great God this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Early this year in January, I was on annual leave. Something that we've been doing now for about 18 years is going to the south coast of New South Wales, about 3 hours south of Sydney, and we go to this place called Ulladulla. And if you want to really annoy the locals, just call it Ulladulla. You know, people, it's really nice down here in Ulladulla, mate. You know, they get upset. And it's a great surf spot, and we've been doing this. Like we do another, like, two-week holiday somewhere else, but this has been, like, year after year we go down. And one of the things I really love doing with my holiday Bible reading is just tackling a new book, just going, hey, something fresh for the holidays. Lord, what have you got for me on my holidays? And so I'd go for an early surf with all the boys. Every morning we'd go for a surf, and I'd come home, get some breakfast, throw a little backpack on, jump on my bike, and go find a place to hang out with Jesus. You know, go to a park or something like that. And I found the Holy Spirit. You know, what I'd do is I'd set up on this like picnic table, get my Bible out, get my reading glasses out, some all sort of set up, and I'd just sit there. And it was, you know, this expectation. God, what have you got for me? And I began to notice, and this is something that everywhere I was on this holiday, I just began to notice, and the Holy Spirit was drawing to me, noticing things that pointed towards our life on earth not lasting forever. So I was sitting there reading the Bible, and then I just look up, and I can remember just being drawn to watching this elderly gentleman walking slowly across the park with his elderly dog. He had an old fox terrier. And then he'd get his stick, you know, those sticks where you can throw the ball and it's the ball's wedged in the end of the stick, and he'd throw the ball, look at his old dog, and the old dog's going, oh, you got to be kidding me, I'm not running for that thing. And then, you know, and so I'm just looking at life and things reminding me we're not here forever. And then I went back to our campsite. Now, we've been going, as I mentioned, for 18 years. There's families there with young kids that when we first went were young kids, like the mum and dad. And so going every year for 2 weeks, it's like, you know those little booklets where they draw stick figures on each page, and as you flick through, you can see this moving animation. Anyone ever seen that? It's like I've got 2 weeks from every year of 18 years, and I can see this moving animation of just how quick life goes by. And at the same time as I'm noticing the brevity of life, I'm reading in the Word about eternity. And God's doing stuff in me. It's like there's this call, Pat, you're an eternal being, live like an eternal being. Because when eternity resides in our hearts, we live and think and do things radically differently to if we're consumed by the things that just last for a short time. So I thought that as we come into this time, you know, I, as I've mentioned, I'm inspired by what you're doing. And I have found that when eternity resides in our hearts, you tend to see opportunity and privilege in places where you otherwise would not. Where you would just be going on in life and not noticing, when eternity is residing within us, you'll be stopped and you'll see things that otherwise would not have stood out to you, and you'll see that is an opportunity. Indeed, more than an opportunity, that is a privilege. And I want to put it to you this morning, C3 Church Fremantle, that leap into spring is a God opportunity and is a God privilege, where we can take a moment and just go, hang on a minute, I'm not here forever. How can I be a part of something that will have fruit that remains forever? I'm just astounded by what you're doing. Liberia, feeding orphans, providing school and education for 227 kids. There's lives that are changed forever right there, and establishing and supporting churches. You have now overseen four C3 churches coming onto the landscape. How extraordinary for a church to pull that off. You're putting a flag in the ground in West Africa. Then in Cambodia, partnering with Janine Kabbalah and rescuing little girls who have probably not just, some of them would have been kidnapped, but some would have been sold into sex slavery by their own families. And you're rescuing them and giving them a hope and a future. Some of the most vulnerable people on the planet are widows in India, and you are giving them hope and dignity in a future. Burma, China, you are rescuing child soldiers and educating them. Philippines, providing scholarship for ITA children. ITA is a people group that is the most despised and marginalized in the Philippines. And then there's all the extraordinary stuff that you're doing locally that we just saw, reaching into the lives of families that are doing it tough. And I love it, even that statement that was there, providing dignity and value. You're not coming here like someone who is undignified. You're coming here, and we're just gonna come alongside you and believe in you and help you, because anyone can find themselves doing it tough, and we want to help you while you're doing it tough. I love what is happening. And you see, these are all opportunities. We won't be able to do this stuff in eternity. It's only here and it's only now that we get to be involved in the transformation of lives. But you see, here's the thing about these opportunities. Has anyone else found this? The greatest opportunities, the greatest privileges, usually come with a reasonable price tag attached. Anything worthwhile has got a price tag. And what you are doing, the price tag is in hard work. And people in this church are working hard. It is in sacrificial giving of time to volunteer. I mean, all of these things are good ideas unless somebody jumps in and volunteers. And the sacrificial giving of our finances, which you have been doing now for years, and what we are looking at going into the future as a family doing again. And see, when you look at those things through the eyes of the temporal, right? Temporal is those things that are here today and gone tomorrow. You might look at those things and go, not willing to pay it. But when you look at it through the eyes of eternity, you'll go, that cost is nothing compared to the fruit that lasts forever. Let's have a look at a couple of eternal scriptures so that we can allow the Word of God to write eternity on our hearts this morning. Anyone here able to grasp eternity with their mind? I must admit, I struggle. Eternity is a forever thing. This mind is finite. So it's a concept that I find really hard to grasp. I was born, got a beginning. There's time passes, and there's going to be a time where, if Jesus does not come first, where my time on earth will end. Now, God, He lives outside of time. Time is a part of the created realm. One day He's going to wrap it all up, and it's not going to. And we will be in a place where time doesn't pass by. We just are. That's why Jesus could say, "Before Abraham was, I am." What the? I mean, that's out there, isn't it? And it's because he's outside of time. Now, I cannot really comprehend that because all of my existence has been in time. But the reality is that this finite time that we've got, this allotment for each one of us, will come to an end. And for some of us, depending on our culture, that's harder to grapple with than others. Most Aussies do anything other than think about their mortality. That's the thing, you know, la, 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 don't talk about that. And so when we start to look at eternity, it's like this out there concept. And yet the Bible, from beginning to end, is full of eternity. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Now, scriptures like that, when I was a young man, didn't seem to make that much of a deal to me because I was young, my body seemed to be working, and I was somewhat indestructible. But then I found there was things that I liked to do that this body couldn't pull off anymore. That there were things that were sort of like I'd write checks my body couldn't cash. And one of the things that I did for many years, from the age 7 to 25, I played competition rugby. I loved it. I just thought, what a great game. I was just into it. But I found that every time I got on the field, I'd get concussed. That's supposed to be not good for your brain. And so I had to stop playing. It explains a lot, really, doesn't it? And I stopped playing, but I'd do that thing which is even stupider. I'd play the one game a year thing. Much worse. Guaranteed that all these old guys get injured. And we'd do these things that would be C3 Oxford Falls versus all the other C3s of Sydney. Or, okay, let me tell you, here's a really dumb thing to do. C3 Aussies versus C3 Kiwis. Don't do that. Don't do that. That is stupid. Because on the C3 Kiwi side, there'll be two Pakehas, white guys, and the rest will be Fijian, Samoan. The last game I played, I was 44. I marked a 23-year-old Samoan. It was as bad as it sounds. I broke a finger. I did rib cartilage damage and couldn't sleep on this side of my body for a month. And I was so concussed, all I could see was tunnel vision at the end of the game. But the day is coming when you and I will be glorified, which means that we will be given a new body like Jesus that will last forever. And it will be glorious. This is a part of our salvation that he's given to us. We've already, if we know Jesus, we've already been saved from the penalty of sin. He's taken our death. And as we go through life and we become more like him, we are being saved from the power of sin. But the day is coming when you and I will be saved from the presence of sin. And we'll be given bodies just like his. Glorious resurrection bodies that will last forever. Pretty cool, huh? John 14, 1 to 3. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything's ready, I'll come and get you so that you may always be with me where I am. Do you know what Jesus is doing right now, apart from being at the right hand of the Father interceding for us? Do you know what he's doing? He's preparing a place for you and me. Now, a few days ago, I was on the ferry on my way out to Rottnest. And I took the ferry from Perth. So I went up the river and this guy was giving a little bit of a commentary, and he said, now just on the right there is a really expensive suburb, and that building there last sold, that house, last sold for $56 million. I actually wasn't impressed by that. I just was thinking, why on earth? Now, the one who's preparing a place for us, he made the heavens and the earth. He put the stars in their places. He calls the constellations out by name. Don't get too impressed by a $56 million house, because what he's got in store for us is beyond what our mind can comprehend. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 3. Then I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I should just stop there. Nige, I'm sure that if we had a word with the Lord, that there's got to be waves somewhere in heaven. I believe there's waves, there's places for wave skis. And so it may not be any sea, but that's sort of like an old-style sea. It'll have a new name in heaven, I'm sure. There'll be waves of some sort. Verse 2, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And that is going to be our existence forever. No more presence of sin, and therefore no more death, sickness, crying, or pain. We will be filled with joy eternal in the presence of God, and it is an existence beyond what we can wrap our heads around. Now, when eternity is written in our hearts and minds, it changes everything. It's got to change everything. When it goes the journey from being out there somewhere as a concept and by the Holy Spirit lodges as a reality. Or if it does the journey from being an intellectual thing, I mean, everybody in this room, I'm sure, would go, yep, when I die, there's an eternity, and it'd be in here. But when it becomes revelation in our heart, we live differently. Our decisions are different. Our priorities are different. Look at how the Apostle Paul was impacted by this. Paul was one of the most eternal-minded people who ever lived on the planet. Look at what he says in Philippians 1:20 about how he lived as an eternal being. Philippians 1 verse 20 says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So really, I don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me." Can you hear what comes out of a person's heart when they see the reality of a God eternity? Death is not a defeat. It's not a tragedy. It's a shadow into a glorious eternity. Yep, when we're the ones left behind, it is absolutely understandable and normal to grieve, but it can be a victorious grieving because we're going to see our loved ones who know Christ again. But For Paul, when he sees his reality is forever in the presence of God, what does he say about his life here? It's an opportunity to be even more fruitful. Because he's got this sense, I'm only here for a certain time, so I might as well have a go while I'm here. There was a guy who was born in Sydney in the 1880s. A little baby boy's name was Arthur Stace. Arthur was born into a really dysfunctional family. Both the mum and dad were alcoholics. And even when he was a really little kid, he would sleep under the house on cardboard to get out of the family. He would scrounge food in neighboring bins. By the time he was 5, he was a ward of the state. By the time he was 15, he had his first stint in jail. He went to World War I, was gassed, and returned home because of his injuries, and immediately got into alcoholism again, and somehow made it through some decades. There was points where he was nearly committed into mental asylums. The alcohol had such a grip on him. And then in his 40s, and the year was 1930, he found himself in an Anglican church, St. Bartholomew's, which is still there today, in Broadway, just in the inner suburbs of Sydney. And he went in and he heard the gospel preached and he came to Jesus. And everything changed. Everything changed. 2 years later, as he was doing this journey of a new believer following Jesus, he heard a preacher, a guy by the name of John Ridley. And this is what John Ridley said in his message that cut right to the core of Arthur Stace's heart. John Ridley said, "Eternity, eternity. I wish that I could sound or shout that word to everyone on the streets of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend your eternity?" And for Arthur Stace, that was like a call. God spoke to him in that moment and told him to write eternity in chalk on all the sidewalks of Sydney. The amazing thing is he was illiterate and couldn't even write his own name properly, but when he wrote eternity, it came out like a beautiful copperplate script. And for the next 38 years, he did this over 500,000 times on the streets of Sydney. No one knew who it was. But people who were charging around Sydney, consumed by the temporal, I'm off to work, I've got to get money, I'm busy, I've got to do this, would see it and they would be arrested for a moment to think about, hang on, there's something bigger than what I'm living for right now. What he would do is wake at 4 a.m., pray for an hour about where he would go that day, have a cup of tea, and then go and write eternity. Now, he became known, his minister actually guessed it was him, and said, "Are you Mr. Eternity?" And he says, "Guilty as charged." And then it came out and the newspapers got onto it. Did anybody see the year 2000 Sydney Olympics? And that when those Olympics started, written across the harbour bridge was this scene. Two billion people saw that. It's my prayer today that the Holy Spirit would write eternity on our hearts. That as we come into leap into spring, that we do it with eternity in us. Because when eternity is written on our hearts, you don't say, "I'm unwilling to fight a good fight for Jesus." You say, "I'm up for it." Because you know anything that there's a fight around and challenge around, if it's a God thing, that it's worth doing. When eternity's written on our hearts, we're willing to persevere in any challenging situation so that the work of God will be done. When eternity's written in our hearts, we're willing to sacrifice because we know we don't need to get it all in this life. When eternity's written in our hearts, we won't be seduced by the temporal. Money, sex, power, fame. Now, one of the most famous pop singers in the world today, Katy Perry, Katy's mum and dad are pastors. Don't know if you've ever watched a Katy Perry concert. My goodness, they are extraordinary. The adulation that goes towards Katy is astounding. And yet, if you look at a scripture like 1 Peter 1:23 to 25, it says, "For you have been born again, but not to a life which will quickly end. Your new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever." You know, the greatest thing that the world can offer us, the adulation of being a king or a queen, is as nothing compared to the glory of being in the kingdom of God forever. Pastor Phil, I heard him talk about this thing a few years ago. Every now and then, now you've got to be feeling good about yourself before you do this. Every now and then, he goes on the net and he looks at something called death clock. So what's death clock? You fill in a few questions. What country you live in? What your body mass index is? Whether you have an optimistic or a pessimistic outlook on life? Whether you smoke? Whether you drink and how much? And then just using averages and demographic data, it comes up and it tells you the day you're going to die. Now, of course, it'll never get the day. The chances are minute. So I looked at it. Let me tell you what day death clock gave me. Saturday, February the 3rd, 2052. I'll be 89, which is 1.2 billion seconds away. Now, I'm a scientist. I know that it's extremely unlikely that it would ever happen on that day. But I kind of like this sense of carrying with me that I don't have that long to have a go at the opportunities and the privileges that are before me. Let me finish with a quote from C.S. Lewis. "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this." So I think as we allow the Holy Spirit to put eternity in us, that we would live the way that we've been designed to. And we would see the opportunities that are before us in things like leap into spring. And we can respond to them in a good and godly way that would please our Father in heaven. As I close this morning, I wonder if I could just ask everybody just to close their eyes for a moment. The reason I'm asking you to close your eyes is so that we're just not distracted for these precious moments by the things around us, but that our heart is open to God, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And I want to ask this really important question. Have you prepared for eternity? You know, maybe you're sitting here today and you've never before asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've not asked Him to come into your life. You've not said, "Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior, forgive my sins." And you've got no assurance in your heart at this time of what would happen to you when you die. You might even think, I hope I'll go to heaven. I've been a good person. I'd like to go to heaven. But you see, it can be so much stronger than I hope or I think. It can be I know. And the way that you can know that you know is when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to indicate to me that you want to be prayed for so that you can ask Jesus to be your Lord. Or maybe there's some people here and once in the past you knew Jesus closely, but you've drifted away and it seems like He's far. He's not close. Like that passion you once had is dried up. That walk with the Lord is no longer strong. But this morning, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and you know it's time to come back. It's not the time to stay distant. And the devil tries to tell you, you can't go back. Look at what you've done. But let me tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit is saying, your Father is calling you back. Or maybe you're just thinking, if I was to die today, I don't know where I'd go. And you want to know that you would be with Jesus. So just while everybody's eyes closed, I want to ask you to do something really bold. And that is, if you want to meet Jesus for the first time or come back to him or just make sure of your eternity while everybody's eyes are closed, just bravely put your hand in the air and that's saying, Pat, I want you to pray for me so that I can be sure. Now, you might be thinking, oh, I came to church today, I wasn't really planning on this. That's okay. God's calling you and leading you to make sure about your eternity this morning. Maybe you're wondering, is this me? Should I do this? If your heart's beating on the inside and you're wondering, is this me? It is you. Because that's the Holy Spirit calling you to make sure of your eternity. So if that's you and you want me to pray for you, just raise up your hand and it would be my privilege and honor to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God, we worship you. Could I just ask everybody to look this way? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's just been my absolute pleasure to spend time with you guys. I'm really looking forward to the multicultural feast. I've eaten termites with the best of them in years gone by, let me tell you. So really, really enjoying it. And it's just been my privilege to be a part of this great thing you do in your church. Thank you, Pastor Nigel.
Well done, Pat. It's great having Pastor Pat with us today. Well, we come to the part we've got a little bit of to do still. And I just ask from now until the end of our service that if everyone could stay seated and not move out of the auditorium, it would be really appreciated. I just think that this moment's crucial and we're going to come to a time of giving after we've watched a video clip of what we've achieved so far in the last 12 months. Who's looking forward to seeing that? And what Pastor Pat's seen it. And for those of you who weren't here last night, this is fantastic. It actually got me quite emotional last night. I'll try and keep it together today. But after that, I'm going to share a little bit about giving, and that you'll have a opportunity for a faith promise card. Just make sure you have one. Make sure every person in this auditorium, young or old, please take a faith promise card now and just hold it in your hand. Young people, grab your card. Everyone, I would love every person. Every person can do something today. So just keep it in your hand. If you've already filled one out, that's great. And I will explain that after we've watched the video on what we have accomplished so far. Lord, I know that our church, I know I am grateful that we can give and not have to ask. I thank you for the privilege of giving. I thank you that as we determine in our hearts to be focused on giving over the next 12 months, Father, through our faith promise cards, Lord, that we would listen to your still quiet voice and we would have your heart, that we would see people in eternity because we've made a difference. The people of God said, amen. I'd like to show you a clip of PowerPoint, if we can pop that up, thanks, about faith promise giving. So this is about our card. What we're looking for this year, from today, for the next 52 weeks, is for us to put it a weekly, a fortnightly, a monthly amount if the amount's not there, it doesn't work for your budget, you can write the amount on the card. But we would love you to put your credit card details or your bank account details on there so that we at the office at C3 Fremantle, every fortnight that amount, or every week that amount, or every month that amount, or you can do a one-time gift as well there. But I've found, Andrew and I have found, that it's far easier to do bite-sized chunks. Has anyone ever tried to eat a pizza all at once? And so the best way and the most I think the most obvious way of being a great steward and extending the gospel and the good news through our Leap and Spring, our local and international support, is through allocating when you get paid or when you know you have income coming in or even from your pension. We can do this together. You know, Face Promise card, whoops, is all about others. Who'd like to help others? This card allows me to live my life focused on God's heart for others. You know, let me just share a quote I found. When we stand before Jesus, He's not going to ask what kind of car you drove. He's going to ask, what did you do for the helpless? He's not going to ask what kind of clothes you wore. He's going to ask, who did you help clothe? He's not going to ask if you ate in fancy restaurants. He's going to ask if you fed the hungry. He's not going to ask if you got promoted at work. He's going to ask, who have you promoted in life? He's not going to ask, what kind of house did you live in? He's going to ask, did you love your neighbours? He's not going to ask how much money you made. He's going to ask how much money you gave. He's not going to ask how much you saved. He's going to ask how many you saved. Imagine being up in heaven and seeing people of all different races walking up to you. And they say to you, you don't know me, but because you faith promised financial support, somebody came and preached the gospel to me and my whole family. So whether you can only afford, young person, $1 a week, that's $52 a year. But if we have 10 young people given $52 a year, that's $520. We are making an enormous difference. So this is everybody partnering and doing something. If you say, Pastor, well, I've got this bill and that bill and everything else, you know what? This is a faith promise commitment. I believe that God is bigger than your circumstances. This is our opportunity. This year we've changed it from last year. We're not doing this after week. We're saying, you know what? I'm going to make a difference today. This weekend, I'm going to make a difference. So if you haven't written on your card yet, I would encourage you in the next few minutes to do so. This is a tool. Our faith promise card is a tool to spread the gospel. Who's excited about the vision that we already have? Come on, is it only just the front row? Who's excited about the vision that we've got? Yeah, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand for what we've already done. Well, you know, I reckon we could do a little bit more. We could stretch a bit more, don't you? So I want to give you some ways we can do that. Because I want to be in heaven like that guy, the eternity guy. How good was that illustration that Pat gave? Let's leave our mark. Let's leave our mark on this earth. So, I want to ask you a question. Three questions, in fact. And this is for these questions for each and every one of us. You can pop the first one up, thanks. This is three things we need to ask ourselves so that we're not just giving, I believe, what we can afford. Really, we don't need much faith for that. There's three areas, and the first one is, what can I give? But can I say, I think we all need to ask ourselves these three questions. It's very important that we understand how crucial what I'm about to say is. The first question is, therefore, what could I give? You know, if we're good stewards, we all have a budget. If you're a family person, you would have a budget. You know that you've got a little bit of fat, a little bit of excess. So you've got to ask, what could I give? A faith promise for the kingdom expansion is over and above the tithe. We first need a strong and growing church so that we can impact the nations. So this is above your tithe into the church. If we don't have a strong church, it's pointless doing what we do. I'm grateful that we are hardcore, as Pastor Pat calls us. So don't transfer your tithe into Leap into Spring. That will actually slow kingdom expansion down. We're incredibly blessed to live in Australia. Even if you're on the dole or in university, compared to over half of the world, you're rich. If you're on a pension here today, you get any kind of social security, you're rich. The average is $1.50 per day income in half our world. We're rich. Who's blessed to be in Australia? And we can be a blessing. And so we know we can give something. The second question is, and again, personalize this. Okay, I know what I can give. But secondly, what could I also give up? Andrew and I have talked about this. We just come back from Bali. We could have gone other more exotic places or gone further. But in many ways, we can have a great holiday and have a sacrifice in the amount that we spend so that more can come into building, into Leap into Spring in the kingdom purposes of God. You know, who enjoys a cup of coffee? I do. You know, I know our Africans don't drink too much coffee, but I'm sure that you buy clothes. For others of you who don't drink coffee yet, once you get old enough and you have responsibilities, you'll drink it. But my point is, what could I give up? So firstly, personally, what do I know I can give? Secondly, what could I give up? Now, I drink probably an average at least one cup of coffee takeaway a day per week. So that's for me about 7 cups of coffee. That's a confession right there. But if we have 3. If you give up 3 cups of coffee a week, that's $12. That actually equals, I did the sums, over a period of a year, another $624 I can give in a Leap into Spring. We can all give up something. You know, I worked out if you got a $2,000 mortgage and you pay an extra $182 a month, you have the whole $2,000 that you can give extra into Leap into Spring in the last month. That's all. Pay an extra $182 and there's $2,000 in the 12th month. You can give in a Leap into Spring. Who'd like to change some more lives that way? It's just a little bit of creative thinking. And thirdly, so what can I give? What could I give up? We've all got to ask ourselves these questions. And the third question is, what could I believe God for? That's the faith part of the faith promise. God's our King, He's rich. And faith promises being a good steward of what God has put in your hand and then adding faith to it. Through good budgeting, you may be able to give a particular amount. Then just add faith to it. Add faith to those other two things that I've talked about. You know you can give $40 a month, you say, well, you know what? I'm going to trust you for $60 a month. If you know you can give $300, $500 a month, say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to stretch. I'm going to believe that business opportunity is going to come to pass. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I find that when you write and put it on paper, that God then moves because you've acted in faith. And so there's these three areas. What could I give up? Well, sorry, what could I give? What could I give up? And what could I believe for? An opportunity on the card to give weekly, fortnightly, monthly, or a one-time annual commitment. Let's endeavor to do this consistently throughout our year so that we can be a blessing to these nations year in, year out. Who's glad that they can be a part of Leap into Spring? So what I would like you to do is just give you a minute, if you haven't already, to fill in this card. Can I encourage every one of us to put something on this card, as little as it is or as big as it is? Let's make our promises. Then I'm going to ask us to come forward and place them in this half a wine barrel. That's good oil. All right, and we'll do that together. Andrew and I have done this last night. The music team did it last night. So far, you know, I'm grateful for good giving people in our church. Well, I know a lot of you weren't here. We've raised $33,500 over the next 12 months so far from the people that were here last night. We need more than that if we're going to do what we're going to do. The Ebola virus in Liberia is critical. 1,700 people are infected with the disease right now. We need at least a couple of $1,000 just to help our Kakata community up there with medical supplies and clothing. Let's do something for the greater good.